Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Welcome, Snack Bar fans, to the year 2013, our first podcast of the new year. My name is Henry Ski, and I am so honored to be your host for the Snack Bar Podcast episode 246. With me are the extremely esteemed, the bodacious, curvaceous, flirtatious
Wait, what?
Duo of Graham and Andrew. We are so pleased to have you listening today to Snack Bar Games, your favorite source for news, previews, reviews, and views for all the latest and not so latest, but still the greatest games on the market. So today, guys, we're going to be doing something a little bit special, a little bit different. You remember the commercial for Super Mario World? Well, this podcast is going to be a little bit more exciting, a little bit more challenging, a bit more colorful, a bit hotter, a bit cooler, a bit weirder, a bit more snack bar gamesier. But before we get into that, Graham and Andrew, how are you doing on this lazy Sunday? Although, Graham, for you, not so lazy.
Whoa. I feel like we're on a radio show now. It's awesome.
Also, curvaceous?
Yes.
Actually, Graham, you're pretty much the opposite of curvaceous, but combined, you two, I know you're bodacious and flirtatious.
I don't know about that either.
We'll just go with it.
Sure. A couple drinks, and we'll have the town. It'll be good times.
I think he just liked to rhyme a little too much.
Maybe I'm projecting my wantings to hang out and get drunk with you guys. Hopefully at E3.
Okay.
to answer your question.
And how are you guys doing?
Yes, I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm momentarily overwhelmed by the intro, but I'll recover in about an hour and a half when we're done.
Perfect. Just in time for the podcast. Well, I've been doing pretty well over the holidays. I tried to start out Witcher 2. But I got so into Dota 2. I've been playing so much Dota 2 lately. Me and my friends used to play the custom game way back in the day, back when it was a mod for Warcraft 3, The Frozen Throne. And we sort of got out of it for a while, but I was playing with my buddy from Vancouver and Calgary and Halifax. That is such a good way to keep in touch, you know, over Skype and playing together, that we've just been playing a ton. I think since I started a few weeks ago, I'm at about 60 games or so. 50 to 60 games, so that's 50 to 60 hours.
So you're in it. There's no turning back now.
I cannot get out. I mean, at first I'm overwhelmed because the core gameplay is unchanged completely. But the aesthetic is quite different. But now that I'm used to that, it's the same old MOBA style game. And it's when you're playing with your friends and sort of you're playing 40 to 50 to 60 minute games where you have no idea who's going to win. It is very, very exciting. It's really a great multiplayer experience. If you have good friends and a good community, because they can be unforgiving also.
Yeah.
If you're not up to speed.
So look for our ongoing Dota 2 coverage from Henry every episode of the podcast in 2013, because that's all he'll be playing.
Every column from now on, it'll be like, here's how I'm feeling about Dota 2 this time.
So today on Dota, I was feeling sad because I died a lot, and I'm terrible.
That'll be easier to edit for Graham, not as long.
This is true. Keeping in mind with that, we'll keep this podcast nice, trim, and lean and fit like we're all going to be in 2013. So, we are going to do today, we're not going to focus on any specific news or any upcoming games or anything like that. It's sort of a model of 2013 and new beginnings and our hopes for games in 2013. I know we've all got a lot of games that we're really excited about. Ni No Kuni comes out in a few weeks. I know both of you have to be excited about that.
I think we'll probably have a full discussion on that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what this podcast is going to be is Andrew, Graham, and I are going to discuss what our personal dream game would be if we had everything up to us, if we sort of were, you know, controlling all the finances and the, you know, the gameplay options and the ideas, no limits or anything like that. I mean, obviously we want to keep in, keeping the constructs of reality. So we can't say, well, I would like a holodeck from Star Trek because that's not really realistic at this time. I think Kinect is a little bit away from that.
There goes my idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go first so you guys can come up with some non-holodeck ideas.
Yeah, you gotta give me a little time. I gotta go back to the drawing board there.
But that's the goal. So we wanna tell you guys what we would personally absolutely love to see. It doesn't have to be announced. Doesn't have to be a part of a franchise. It can be a new IP, or it can be from an existing, you know, franchise. And I think it'll be really fun. I think we'll come up with a lot of really cool ideas that I'm sure might get shot down. But I mean, in the sense of this podcast, we're not really interested in sort of, when I say the constructs of reality, I mean for ideas. I don't mean that, oh, well, Henry, realistically, no developer would ever fund that idea. We're not interested in that. We want our own personal, absolute favorite game. Can't wait to play it. Been thinking about it all our lives. So here we go. I am going to start with mine, and big shock, it's going to be an RPG.
Okay.
Whoa.
Let me guess as to the nature of this.
Okay.
Is it a direct sequel to Chrono Trigger?
Oh, Graham, you know me too well. Storyline that I would like to see it go through would be a direct sequel to Chrono Trigger, but the gameplay ideas I have around it would not necessarily be for, doesn't have to necessarily be for a Chrono Trigger sequel.
Okay.
So I'll start with the story, at least the basic story idea, and then I'll get on to what system I'd love to see it for and gameplay ideas that we can sort of meld into that. It doesn't have to be, you know, Chrono Trigger, but I really like this story idea. So I'm sort of in a phase in my life that I like to see, you know, sort of really dark and gritty reboots are sort of the main thing right now.
Chrono Trigger.
I really like it right now. You know, I'm a huge Breaking Bad fan, but what I love about Breaking Bad is how it's more the follow-up and attention to detail. So you see so many shows where some catastrophe happens or some character goes through a major, not necessarily a major arc, but they see something, you know, a scene that should really affect them, and the show should visit how that affects them. And I find a lot of shows don't do that. Like, something amazing will happen to somebody and then they'll never mention it again. And that really bothers me. So I like the idea of sort of following up on previous events and how that ripples and affects people and their relationships and their personalities and their outlooks on life. And how does it continue to affect them? Do they move on? Do they stay friends with the groups of people that were involved in it, or do they drift apart? So, direct sequel to Chrono Trigger would be something like this.
Okay.
Something would happen to Chrono, and there's major spoilers, by the way. If you haven't played Chrono Trigger, stop right now. Go play Chrono Trigger.
Let's My be favorite. Clear. If you listen to our podcast and you haven't played Chrono Trigger, us telling you to go play Chrono Trigger is probably not going to work because we've done that already.
Done that many
times. A lot, yeah.
That's
so,
public service announcement. That's, yeah, well over, but it's not really because we've done it 100 times.
Yeah, so like, you know, you're going to get spoiled now because you're not going to listen. So we're going to talk about Chrono Trigger.
So something happens with Chrono when you go back in time, when Lavos kills him the first time, when you face Lavos and he dies.
Are you going to have an alternate timeline?
Sort of,
the,
yeah,
fallen hero timeline for Chrono Trigger?
Maybe. Yeah, I like... I think you know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
But it's a little different. So Chrono, there's something happened. I know a few of the side stories in Chrono Trigger talk about an entity that is sort of like that there may be this entity that wanted them to go through time and save the world, but that you never find out who it is. It's never really expanded upon. Well, maybe the entity felt that going back and saving Chrono and bringing him back wasn't quite what they wanted. They didn't really think it was fair. So shortly after Lavos is killed and the world is saved, Chrono just vanishes. Like, he doesn't die in Marl's arms or anything like that. He just disappears. So Marl thinks, and it's sort of alluded to, that he is gone forever and they can't get him back. So Marl is pissed, obviously, because she loves him and wants to get him back. But before he vanished, what all the crew did. So Frog and Isla, and maybe not Magus because he's sort of a lone wolf guy, and Robo and Luca. They all get together and they decide that screwing around with the timeline, now that they've saved the world, that's it. There should be no more going through time. I know the gates collapse when you know, Lavos goes away, but they still have the Epoch. So they decide to dismantle the Epoch and they say, okay, we're going to keep maybe one gate key just in case they have to in the future and someone's going to look after it and hide it and make sure no one's ever going to do this again. And they all agree to that. So they choose Glenn. They choose Frog, who now is in human form. And so Glenn is gone back to his time frame or whatever, and they're all sort of separated. They're sad because they're not going to see each other again, but they know that they're not going to screw around with the timeline anymore because it just causes way too many problems. It could be used for evil or profit or anything like that. So this happens, and then Marl finds out that Chrono is not coming back. And she's trying to, oh, Frog, by the way, is, I think I may have said this wrong. Frog is either in the 1000 AD timeline. Somehow him and Marl and Chrono and Luca are all in the same timeline. So Frog decides to either leave 600 AD and come to 1000 AD, or I'm not sure about the details on that. But Marl, yes.
Guy, you really need to flesh this out, Henry.
Yeah.
So Marl is pissed. And what she does immediately is she goes to Glenn. And says, okay, like, I know we agreed to not use time travel anymore, but I need to go back and get Chrono back. And Glenn, of course, is being noble as he is, and he loves Chrono as a friend and all that, and he cares very much for Marl and says, we agreed, and this is precisely the kind of thing we talked about that someone would do. So I have to take a stance here and say no. And so time goes on, and Marl tries to accept this, and she just can't. And she starts to change and become very angry and bitter. She's now queen of the realm, but she doesn't really care about the people anymore. All she can, you know, sort of this festering hatred of, you know, why won't Glenn let me go back? So she visits him a second time in sort of this, like, not friendly atmosphere. So she has this, like, I don't know, ninja costume on or whatever, but she basically catches him off guard and, like, puts a knife to his throat and says, you need to give me the time key or the gate key or whatever so I can go back. And he still isn't going to, and he's not going to fight back because he's, you know, they're friends and he can see that she's agitated and all that. And so the rest of the game is going to be, you know, Glenn says no, Frog says no, I can't do that. And Marl says, sort of looks at him and just says, okay, and leaves. And the sort of rest of the game is going to be actually Marl becoming more and more the bad guy. What she's going to do, screw up the timeline so much. Like, she's going to start murdering villagers for petty crimes. She's going to start wars with other countries. She's going to, you know, imprison Luca for, you know, no reason at all, but she thinks she's too dangerous to be here. Basically, she's going to make Frog be so unhappy with the current timeline that he's going to have no choice but to give her the gate key or whatever, go back and change time, because Marl has created this awful hell on Earth because she's so angry. And she thinks that if she does that, if she murders people, if she makes everything so bad, that Frog will have no choice but to be like, okay, you've ruined everybody's lives, here's the key and all that. So that's kind of the time frame or the story frame of the game. I think there's there, and love to see it on the Wii U. I'd love to see any RPG on Wii U. So the gameplay mechanics, I really like the idea of an ensemble cast. I know you guys too. I think that's why we like RPGs so much, is that we have this really cool cast of characters.
Yeah.
And they're all intermingling, and you sort of believe that when you go to an inn for sleep, like, are they hanging out talking all night, or are they working on spells with each other, or if they're talking about, you know, I never understood why characters don't talk openly about their skills. Like, I would love to see, you know, maybe a younger wizard who's, or a mage or whatever, is really good at, like, buffing people. So, like, increased attack speed or movement speed or whatever. Yeah, I would love to see them sort of talk openly about their abilities, and the mage can be like, yeah, I can totally tell you guys when my buff is about to wear off, so you guys can maybe pull back and retreat or whatever. So the main gameplay mechanic is going to be about relationships between party members, sort of like Xenoblade. Xenoblade had that affinity linking thing, which I thought was a cool idea, but could definitely be expanded upon.
Also, Sakura Wars.
Oh, Soccer Wars does that too.
Yeah. And Persona 4. And Persona 4. So there you go.
But Soccer Wars.
Mostly Soccer Wars, yeah.
Maybe this is the opposite. I would love to, you know, you be playing on the Wii U and the gamepad, and you'd be able to, maybe you'd have to break off into specific missions, and you'll say, okay, you have a group of six, you need to break up into two groups of three. Basically, what I would like is the more two party members fight together or talk to each other, the greater the relationship is formed. And that can come in the context of cutscenes or character arc, but it can also come into effect in the battle screen. So if somebody hates somebody else, when they heal them, they might not heal them for as much. If somebody really likes somebody else and they get along really well together, maybe the heal will also increase their attack speed temporarily. Or maybe they'll sacrifice themselves to, you know, block an attack or something like that to save the other person. Or maybe they get really close and the other person is able to talk them into, you know, releasing a new talent tree or something like that because they never felt comfortable talking about it with anybody else or something like that. And there'd be, you know, a whole bunch of achievements. Maybe the hardest relationship is two people that hate each other, but by the end of the game, if you know, become really good friends, they can just be this super powerful combo. And it really would make who is in your party matter. Likewise, it would change up the dynamics of things like cutscenes and just talking to, you know, NPCs around the town. So normally you walk around and talk to NPCs, and they don't really have all that much interesting stuff to say. But if you bring, you know, two people who, you know, sort of work ideas off each other really, really well, and they're really funny, then an NPC could say a line, and then these two people could get into this, maybe this funny argument, or maybe they could sort of together find out what the NPC is actually talking about and unlock a new, I don't know, a new area or a new dungeon or something like that. And it would be great because on the Wii U tablet, it would just sort of always be there. I mean, you would control the main game on the main screen, but the Wii U tablet could be used really well for inventory management and relationship management without sort of cluttering up the main screen. So that's sort of my dream game. I would love to see something like that where there's a huge focus on, you know, story and characters, and then maybe implement some kind of system where, you know, you really want specific characters together so they can get stronger and you can see different cutscenes and see their characters develop and stuff like that. So that's my dream game. I haven't come up with a title yet because it's probably not important. But yeah, there you
yeah, no idea.
Something.
So I have to ask, do you have a developer in mind for this project?
Well, the developer I would love is Squaresoft from about 15 years ago.
Okay, so you're gonna need actual time travel technology to
no kidding,
this
yeah.
game.
This is
just gonna be a documentary about the process of developing it.
Yeah. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Okay.
I have another question actually. Would this be 16-bit, or would this be, you know, taking full advantage of, you know, the current hardware, like the Wii U hardware?
I know what you mean. I love retro looks. Like, I love all the indie games I've played with retro graphics. But for me, a game like Lost Odyssey, which I really enjoyed, great. And I thought they were able to do so much with people's facial reactions when they're talking to each other that I would really think it would benefit a lot if we could do current technology, like Wii U technology. And I know RPGs are expensive. And now with HD, I mean, there's not a... I think that's one of the reasons we're not seeing as many RPGs is that it just costs so much to make these worlds and have all this voice acting and stuff like that. But no, I would love to see it on the Wii U. Other systems may be fine, but I think the tablet could really take advantage of you know, the relationship stuff like I talked about. And I'd like to see them in full HD upgraded graphics for sure.
So you would rather have this on this kind of like this set of hardware and not like a next gen system? You'd be okay with that?
I think the Wii U could handle it.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm saying that if you had a chance to make it look even nicer, or, you know, I mean, like, have you seen that Square Enix demo of their new engine from E3? I forgot what it was called.
Agni's Philosophy.
Yeah, that was incredible.
This hasn't dropped the ball on, is they're still able to do cutscenes probably better than anybody else. I think the Wii U, you know, in terms of functionality with the tablet, I just love the idea of managing your inventory sort of on a little screen. I mean, it's okay with the big screen, but if we're going to have the Wii U and sort of make this tablet functional, I think it really could aid the game. I think I would rather a good implementation with that than graphics from the PS4 or the Xbox 720.
No, I mean, I think that's fair. I also think if you're going to do a sequel to Chrono Trigger, it should probably retain at least something resembling the aesthetic of the original game. Not that it needs to be retro, but that it probably has to, keep a similar art style. Mm-hmm. To the point where, I don't know what better processing would do to that as long as it's slick.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Well, so there we go. Let's, thanks, guys. I appreciate the questions. Let's carry on. Andrew, why don't you tell us about your absolute dream game?
All right, well, I have two answers for this, and the first one is very short and kind of explains itself. Yeah, I don't really need to get into details. So just to keep that brief, I just want to mention that this is one of my dream games. Now, Justin wrote about Shenmue 3, right? He wrote that it probably shouldn't come out. He thinks the time has passed. And to a degree, I agree. But this is what I want to see happen. I want to see Yu Suzuki buy those rights back for the rights to Shenmue and then work with Quantic Dream to make Shenmue 3 happen.
Whoa, Quantic Dream, good call.
I would love to see that. I think if anyone can do that with quick time events and the heavy emphasis on story, I think Quantic Dream could probably pull that off. I haven't played Beyond, which, seems like more action, maybe a little more action focused than Heavy Rain was, which was almost entirely quick time events for the most part. So I don't know how they could handle a brawl, combat system, but I don't know. It would be interesting to see something like that happen. So that is one, but the other one, the ultimate game for me is actually one that I think part of it kind of got maybe canceled, which I was really looking forward to.
Maybe Prey. Canceled.
Yes, maybe canceled. I was really looking forward to Prey 2. Not because I'm the biggest fan of Prey, but because Prey 2 sounded really intriguing in the fact that you had this open world and it was like a sci-fi setting and it was like you were playing as like a bounty hunter of some kind. And everything I heard about that game from the E3 it was first shown off on sounded amazing. So I was like, I want this game. I don't care that much about the original Prey. It was okay, but this seemed to be separating itself from that game.
Yeah. Well, okay. So do you want to talk about that game as it was when we saw it?
I haven't seen any more than the trailers that were out. I never actually saw it at E3 like anything that anyone else saw, but the impressions people had of it were impressive. Like, they sounded impressed. So. Were you not impressed when you saw it?
I was not. As I understand it, they didn't show it after that E3. And I saw what they were showing there. It seemed all right.
I mean, of course, it was obvious probably fairly early on. Not super super close to being finished. But.
Yeah, I'm just curious, what it was that seemed compelling enough to you to call it Dream Project.
Well, see, now it's not the Dream Project.
Okay, but I thought that was
No. Sorry, I should have explained better. All right, it's okay. The idea of being a bounty hunter, is awesome, and Prey 2 seemed to be something that might have covered that. Although I don't know how that was going to be handled. It was in the basic premise of the game. You were in this large city. You were a bounty hunter. I don't know if it was linear. I don't know if it was open world with different bounties you can go after. But I love the idea of being a bounty hunter and kind of just being a badass type character who just goes after these crazy villains and can choose to kill them or keep them alive and keep a reward and get a higher reward if they keep them alive. That's why I loved Oddworld Stranger's Wrath so much. A really 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 great game. So the idea of that is great. So I want that. I want a first person RPG where you play as a bounty hunter on a planet where you can roam around, accept quests. There's a main storyline, but you don't have to focus on that. It's kind of Fallout or Elder Scrolls in the way you kind of approach what you want to do. Of course, if you want to finish the story, you can. And once you do, there's still more to do. So that was my original idea, and I was like, all right, that's awesome.
Cool, Bethesda, I like it, yeah.
Bethesda should develop that. Let's make it happen. Then I wanted to expand on that. I was like, all right, let's have it where not only you are a bounty hunter, but you are a part of a crew of bounty hunters. Think Cowboy Bebop.
Okay. Yeah. I see all where right. you're going with this now.
All right, so you're...
The actual Cowboy Bebop license, or just
Okay. It doesn't have to be the actual... Just, in terms of, the setup. It's a spaceship full of bounty hunters, all completely, unique, different characters, coming from different backgrounds. So it would be like that, and it would be kind of like as you're going through the game, you will meet new characters and maybe get new crew members. But ultimately, you'd be like building relationships with these characters, Mass Effect style. So it would be first person, but it would also have these Mass Effect RPG like player choice elements where you can interact with characters, do side missions for those specific characters to get, you know, kind of like loyalty missions for Mass Effect 2, I think is what I think of most when I think of like building relationships with these characters. So okay. Something like that. So that would be all Bethesda, I think. That would be the Bethesda part of this game. And that would be mostly you on a planet or multiple planets. But then I want to add a real-time strategy element to it. Now, a great game is a great strategy game, a space strategy game, is Sins of a Solar Empire, which I played a ton of on back when I had a PC that actually played games that were, you know, pretty up to date. I really loved that game, and I would love to see a combination of, all right, so here's this element where it's like an RPG with you know, first person shooting mechanics, these Mass Effect style conversation systems. You know, it's kind of free roaming, you can do what you want, and then once you actually take off into space, you can go to different planets, but there's also a kind of a strategy element, not like commanding an entire fleet of ships so much as you command your one ship, and you have to worry about, you know, other bands of like pirates or bounty hunters trying to get in your way. So that part would be developed by the guys who did Sins of a Solar Empire, Ironclad.
Okay.
And they would be handling that part. And the way I see it is the game would have three modes. It would have the mode where you get everything. You get the strategy part, you get the shooter RPG part, and that would, like, it's just for everyone who want all of it. That's great. Then you can have the just the shooter part where you get into the ship and you fly off and you can pick a planet and go. You don't have to worry about the strategy part at all. And then of course there'd be the other part where either the RPG shooting elements would be kind of made easier or made more accessible to those who don't like that part and just want the strategy part of the game. So there would be those kind of like three different branching elements where you could just kind of like pick, like, I want to play this game as a strategy game, I want to play this game as an RPG / shooter, or I want all of the above. Me, I would like all of the above, but of course, I would love to make this game accessible to as many people as possible. So, yeah, I mean, that, again, we're shooting high here. I know this is something that will never happen, but I would love to see something like that. Like, just any good game with bounty hunting, just in general. Like, science fiction, like, yeah. Stuff like that. Just, man.
Andrew, that sounds really cool. You never know, man. I mean, in the early 90s, someone would have said, oh, Sonic will never be on a Nintendo console.
Oh, yeah, right? I know. Like, I mean, you never know. I think the combining of those two genres is just the very principle of that is something that probably won't happen. But, you know, especially from two separate developers and then make it work where it all works together. But, like, just the idea of that, I would play that game in a heartbeat. I would upgrade my PC just for that game. I would just.
Okay, so this is a PC game.
Yes, this is a PC game. Although, it wouldn't work on consoles because of the strategy element. It would just probably be a version that was just the RPG element, RPG shooting part. So,
Andrew, I had a question. I love the idea of the first person bounty hunting thing, because that would sort of give you right away a number of different directions on the map you could go, because you probably have a rough location of your bounties.
Yeah.
Would the bounties move around, or would they just sort of be sitting around, or a combination of both? What were you thinking there?
It would be cool to have it be like, so obviously there would be certain bounties that were related to a story that your character and your main crew were a part of. Like, they're on a quest to do something, to either just hunt down these people, then they get involved in this like grander conspiracy. I don't know. Either way, those would be more like linear. Those would be like just follow the plot. You know, there'd be obviously the shooting mechanics would still be there. Like, the RPG element would still be there, and it'd still be for those who just kind of want to blow through this pretty cool story. That'd be there. But for like the optional side missions that involve other different types of bounties and stuff, you know, I can imagine it being like, you know, this character isn't on this planet at this time. He's only on this planet these days of the week, or this time. Of a certain month. So, like, you would need to come back or look for him on other planets. You know, I can imagine that being a thing. And some of the bounties you need to take down in your ship, some you need to take down in, you know, on the planets themselves. So, I can see it being pretty dynamic that way, but.
So, Andrew, your game is not going to be anything like the final level of Dust, according to your tweets.
No.
Did you have an idea for a final boss or a final level or anything like that?
I guess if it's gonna be the Bethesda game, I would love to see it like not end. Like once you're done.
Okay.
I mean, like, again with the Fallout games, like New Vegas was less Bethesda and more.
Obsidian.
Yes, Obsidian. Thank you. But Fallout 3, they obviously patched in a new ending that made you that let you continue to play. But basically, I think of Elder Scrolls and the fact that once you finish the story, hey, you still got all this stuff you can do. You know, the world does not close off to you. So
yeah, I hate the games where it's like, well, it's over, but you can go back before your final save and go do stuff. It's like, well, no, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I don't like when games present this open world, but then you're like, you know what, I just want to focus on the story right now and then save this other stuff for later. And then they just close off this door. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, you may have gotten a lot of experience from that mission, but hey, if you want to actually keep playing, you got to load your previous save for the mission. Yeah, I would not want that to happen. I would want it to be like, okay, we finished this main story, but there are so many other, you know, bounties out there, so many other characters to interact with, so many other planets to explore. So it would be very open in that regard.
Cool. Excellent. Graham, did you have any questions for Andrew before we move on to onto your game?
Are you sure it wouldn't be better with the actual licensed cast of Cowboy Bebop?
That would be great. There was a Cowboy Bebop that was on the PS2. I don't know what that game was at all, but I wanted to play it because I have such a fondness for that series, and it never came out here. It was supposed to come out here, and it never happened. So, a good Cowboy Bebop game, sure, I'll take it. You know, but I think it'd be cooler if you kind of create your own character, like insert really cool sounding last name. That's kind of similar to Shepard here, you know? You would be blank that last name, and then everyone referred to you as your last name. You know, you create your own character who's kind of, you know, kind of like part of him has to follow this kind of story, but the other part of him you can kind of customize him however you want. And then you'd have this like large cast of characters to interact with. The Cowboy Bebop license would limit that, but I would take that too. You know
what? Okay, fair.
A limited version of that based on Cowboy Bebop.
Do you know what I like? What I like most about that idea, Andrew, is when you're going to attack somebody or you're going after them or whatever, there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes in games, you'd be like, why the hell am I killing all these people? This is just killing for the sake of killing or beating them up for the sake of beating them up. But for that kind of game, it's like, nope, this guy is worth this and I need this to, I don't know, buy food, repair my equipment, build the house and all that. I mean, you know, whatever reason, there's a number of different ways you can make that going. Or if you're part of a team, that's what you've been contracted to do. So I always like games where there's a very specific reason as to why you're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, if you want to kind of like I assume there would be, you know, if this game is as fleshed out as I would like it to be, there would probably be multiple approaches to each target. You know, to each bounty, and obviously there's the different option between taking them dead or alive, but there's also kind of like, you know, do I want to take this guy when it's at nighttime and quiet, there aren't many people around, or do I want to kick this bar's door open and just kind of like stick your guns out and say, all right, you're coming with us or else, and then see what happens from there, whether there are civilians there or not, you know, and we can have like your crew members kind of react to that, how you approach that, and their relationship with you can be affected positively or negatively based on those actions. So, I mean,
very cool.
So let me get this straight. In addition to it being Prey 2 and Sins of a Solar Empire and Mass Effect and kind of Assassin's Creed, it's also Deus Ex.
Yes.
And Deus Cowboy Bebop.
And a little Fallout in terms of, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And also if you want to get real, real classic, Wing Commander Privateer.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome.
No FMVs, but you know, it's the spirit of that game. I don't know if anyone else has played it, but there you go.
No, that sounds really cool, Andrew. Thanks. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our final, last, but certainly not least from our fearless leader, Graham. Graham, what is your ultimate dream game that you would love to see?
Okay, so first of all, let me say that there was a project that I had been basically talking through with friends whenever, like, kind of through, well, most of college, actually. Whenever we got, like, really tired and just sat around, like, we talked about it. And that game kind of got made last year.
Oh, yeah?
Well, and that is a Pokemon Tactics game. I would not have said it in fake ancient Japan, but that seems all right.
Where would you have said it?
I think it would have just been a mainline series game.
Oh, okay.
With a little less like campaign based, but
yeah, okay.
But yeah, so now that is made, we kind of have upped the ante here, and so when you asked me about this, it got me thinking and fleshing out this idea. So I'll start by saying that my idea is probably a little more doable, simply because, well, I guess I don't like getting my hopes up for things that are impossible, and I feel like this is possible because, first of all, it's all contained within one company that currently exists. That helps.
Ooh, okay. Very and, cool.
Okay, so let me start with the elevator pitch.
Okay.
So intelligent systems making basically the Fire Emblem version of Kingdom Hearts, but with Nintendo characters.
Ooh.
So
ooh.
it's a tactical RPG with like a cel shaded Paper Mario like 2D style. It probably works out best on the Wii U. And the idea is that you would be building these like parties and going through all these different Nintendo worlds. And it would be this branching storyline, focusing on different, basically probably lead characters of different Nintendo games.
Okay.
But the idea is you'd explore these different worlds kind of in the Kingdom Hearts way, like, okay, now you're in Mushroom Kingdom, now you're in Hyrule, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the idea would be that the it wouldn't just be this all-star, like, Smash Brothers version of a tactics game. Because, I mean, there have been some similar projects with other companies, most of them Japan-only. Project Crosszone comes to mind. But it wouldn't be crazy over the top, because the idea is that these main series heroes would be kind of your main character four different segments. Mm-hmm. And I would love for the ending to kind of have these different, you know, one of my favorite things about like Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, was this idea that like there were different parties, but then they'd sometimes come together and leave and like different configurations of people here and there. That's one of my favorite things about RPGs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of deciding how to split up your team.
Yeah.
But so the idea would be is like, for example, for one segment, maybe you'd only have Captain Falcon, say, but the rest of your party would be kind of more Disgaea style, in that like you'd have, for example, Koopa Troopas, or you'd have like a Deku Kid or something like. The idea is that you'd have these different classes of characters, and that way you could even, you know, name them and give them special abilities and have them work their way up. So it wouldn't just be this. I don't think it's sustainable over, say, 40 to 80 hours for it to be like, okay, well, great. Now I just got Mario and Link and Samus and Captain Falcon and have all of these at the same time. But the idea is that you'd have these. Even like just smaller, not as powerful characters, more like the sidekicks from Paper Mario, where it would be like these smaller types of characters, but maybe they'd have personality. And so the part I think would be interesting is it wouldn't just be a straight up tactics game, that it would have like an interesting story kind of written in like the Paper Mario style, with like really good localization from Treehouse, where they just have a lot of fun and make a lot of jokes. I feel like that would be a really good game.
I'm sold. I have a question. Would this play like Fire Emblem? Just like in terms of the basic tactics and stuff. And
I feel like it would. And I think possibly more special abilities with more range stuff instead of just archers and things like that. But it wouldn't be like an isometric Final Fantasy Tactics style. Especially because I think it would look really good with the art style if it's just like a top-down straight grid with like the cel-shaded Paper Mario kind of thing going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would there be permadeath?
I feel like there would not be permadeath. Because again, I'm trying to keep this nice and... Well, if you created your own characters, I could see the minor characters having permadeath, but probably not because they'd want to release this game.
Yeah.
And my practicality is like, well, no, I'm not handing off the series to, you know.
So like, what would the do you have any idea of what like the story would be at all? What brings all these characters together?
I think that part I haven't figured out.
Okay. It's Master Hand.
To be fair, yeah, it's a really hard thing to come up with, Graham. I love that idea.
If you let the story, let's say, have Retro involved in the scenario. I think like one of the main problems with, for example, Super Smash Brothers Brawl, when they tried to make some sort of story, but it was unclear, and there's this subspace thing. And anyway, we don't need Sakurai involved with this, except for maybe like the oversight into the Kirby worlds. But have maybe a Western influence on like the premise.
Okay.
But I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think most of the game would have you unclear as to why this was happening and stumbling into random worlds and, you know, having to deal with, say, for example, I don't know why, but say you're Samus and you're in Dreamland where Ganondorf is taking over. And you have to help the denizens of Dreamland, who are without Kirby for some reason, because Kirby's in a completely different place and that'll be a completely different chapter of the game. defend
Graham, against Ganondorf. That sounds like an amazing idea. I would love to play that. I had a quick question for me was, would groups, now I'm not totally familiar with a lot of tactics games. I've played Final Fantasy Tactics and a bit of Ogre or Tactics Ogre and things like that. Would each team sort of have to have a captain or like Mario? I mean, the big three are obviously Mario, Samus and Link. So would each of them have to sort of control their own group, or would it just be nope, you can put whoever you want in your in each group?
Well, I think for story purposes, a lot of the segments would be like, all right, here's everyone by themselves, but then maybe it ends up being like two or three per group for most of the game. You know, like for some reason you're Link traveling around with like Fox and Pit or something. But that like it would be these weird pairings for a reason. Just for like peculiar interactions, however you want to have them. But I think it'll be interesting if it were that there's just a couple at a time and then kind of have this big battle at the end with like all the factions coming together and you know, whatever. It's in any RPG, it'd probably be the enormous battle with all the factions coming together. And then after that, for some reason, you only end up with like the eight really powerful people going up against like a very strong but limited in scope boss.
Yeah. So would it kind of be like it starts with an overarching story and then each world has its own like mini story that kind of like you go to the Mushroom Kingdom and hey, Bowser's being evil and you need to stop him or something. Like it's not obviously not that basic, but like it would be each world would have its own self-contained story that you would need to kind of
get through. To start out with, it would be just this chaos. Basically all the villains just separately, but because they're villains, taking advantage of the chaos to try to like take over things.
Yeah, okay.
I think that could be interesting.
Alright.
Especially if there's really, really like peculiar pairings. If you just got super, super weird with it.
Yeah.
What system did you have that in mind for, Graham?
I feel like it's gotta be Wii U. I think the touchscreen control with tactics games will work super, super well. And then I think the 2D look would be really slick, so.
Think about equipping items. You could have a character on the Wii U gamepad, and if you have like 20 items, you just tap the ones you want to equip on them. I mean, that's so much easier than moving the control stick, hitting, you know, A, and move over and stuff like that. I mean, the possibilities there are.
Hitting A is the worst.
No, but it just imagine just tap. Oh, yeah. I mean, tapping and touch controls don't work with a lot of gameplay elements, but certainly like equipping and managing rosters and things like that would be a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Andrew, did you have any?
You could definitely put in some fun, say, if I'm coming up with my dream game, it's going to have a fun local multiplayer mode where you basically create a party from, like, stock characters.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe just even, like, here's, like, the Mario Force, here's, or whatever. But you could have, like, an Advance Force-style gameplay to it with like a pass and play where everyone takes their turn on the gamepad and kind of passes it around and you can see what's going on the screen on like on TV, but then like everybody'd be able to do their own thing. I think that would be fun. Look,
that sounds awesome.
Not necessary, Nintendo. If I only get 98% of my dream game and don't get the cool local multiplayer mode, that's cool. But, you know, if you're really reaching for it, really want to treat me, or, you know, just make a lot of money because clearly this it would. But I mean, the elegance of this is that everyone you need is already at Intelligent Systems because they already have the Fire Emblem and Sasha Advance Force team. They already have the Paper Mario team. They already have all the licenses they need. Just do it.
There you go.
So maybe this is the start of something. Maybe people will listen to this podcast and you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
yeah
cool.
Sure.
All right. Andrew, did you have any questions for any last questions for Graham about his awesome tactical Nintendo characters game idea?
No, not really. I just know that I'd love to buy it. Actually, real quick, is Pokemon involved in any way? Is this
that would be tough. Simply because Nintendo doesn't fully own that stuff. That said, yes, I'm gonna say yes.
Okay.
That would happen.
Would Pikachu be the would Pikachu be the main? Just because he's Pikachu.
I don't know. I mean, maybe
or
there's
maybe a Pokemon trainer would be a character like a Meowth kind of.
Yeah, that works too.
Maybe. Yeah. It could be interesting if, say, for some reason, like Kirby ends up in one of the Pokemon lands, and everybody thinks he's Pokemon, and the whole thing is he's got to stop people from trying to catch him.
That would be kind of amazing.
But he can't, like, speak in words.
Yeah.
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 And everybody just thinks he's a Pokemon named Hi, because he says Hi! That's it.
Yeah, he does look like a Pokemon, so yeah, sure.
Yep.
Well, that's great, Graham. Thank you
no
both
problem.
Very much for sharing those ideas. It's gotten me excited for games that will never come out, which was not the purpose of the podcast, to make me depressed, but I know we do have a lot of really exciting games coming out in 2013.
Dude.
Snack Bar users, look for updated content almost every day, probably more likely every week.
In fact, this is
all the latest
content.
That's right, all the latest news, previews, reviews, and views from all your Snack Bar staff. Thanks very much for listening. That's it for myself, Andrew, and Graham, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.